Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site.
Well, as a child, Christian Hosoi dropped out of school to hang out at his dad's skate park. He became a pro skateboarder at the age of 13. He had his first business at the age of 17, with much international fame and success and sponsorship deals, followed by bankruptcy, drug abuse, prison time. The story continues, though, and the man is here in person to complete it. Christian Hosoi.
How are you doing?
Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
It's been quite a journey for you, hasn't it? Was your father at all concerned that you were dropping out at the age of 11 or 12 or whatever it was to hang out at his skate park?
I dropped out around 14, 15 years old, and it wasn't that big of a deal back then. I mean, we were just being artistic, you know, at the time, and he comes from, the 60s where it was all freedom and love and peace and all the things that were going on back then. So for him, you know, it was like, well, he's a professional skateboarder. He travels around the country already. He's making $2,000 a month. Mm. You know, this is in the 80s. Like, I turned pro in 81. For him and my mom, them contemplating, well, should he drop out of school or not? They were like, well, he's not a high school dropout. He's a kid that's already got a career blossoming, and he's got the world in front of him. So, okay, well, we're going to have to support this and you'll drop out of school.
Give us a picture of the gravity, the hugeness, the size now of the skateboarding scene. Back in the 80s, the 90s, even today, it's giant, isn't it? People can make very, very big money in it.
Yeah, it's a big difference. When we were skating pro, we were skating and making $200 first place. And for competitions, there was about 35 pros and, you know, a crowd of a few hundred people. But now you have this huge, huge platform of like street skaters, downhill skaters, vert skaters, mega ramp skaters. You have such a big, huge, vast like industry now. And with 17 million people buying skateboards a year in the United States alone, I mean, it's really blown through the roof. And the opportunity is there for kids now to say, okay, you want to be a professional skateboarder or a baseball player? Now there's that option, where before it's either you're going to be a high school dropout, you know, loser skateboarder, or you're going to be a professional baseball player. So things have changed, you know. I think the mainstream have really opened up their eyes to see how, you know, huge skateboarding has become.
Tell us about some of those stunts that you have been able to do over the years. You need to explain to some of those skateboarding illiterate people amongst us just what you can actually do with, I mean, with the vertical pipes and all those kinds of things. I'm probably using really bad terminology, by the way.
Yeah, well, since the first frontside air where Tony Alva did in a backyard pool, I mean, who would ever think that you could do 75-foot gaps and 20-foot, you know, Chrysler's on a 30-foot tall quarter pipe, but it was all up to the imagination. And I think that through us taking that first frontside air and saying, we want to get higher, we want to do something more, you know, advanced, innovate skateboarding to another level. Yeah. I think that's where we came in the 80s and like took skateboarding to a whole new level of tricks and height and speed. And I did a 10-foot air and we're like, you can't get any higher than that. And then now,
is that the highest you got? Was that the world record?
Well, I'm on,
you held the world record for a while.
I had like a 10.5-foot, you know, backside air on a 10-foot ramp, you know, where now it's like you got a 30-foot ramp with a roll-in that's 80 feet tall, and they're doing 23-foot high aerials today. But to imagine that back then, you couldn't imagine it. But you know, just being a part of skateboarding and being able to have invented tricks like the Rocket Air and the Christ Air, for me, that's just it's a pretty much of an honor to be a part of skateboarding and to be a part of that time zone, the 80s.
Around Australia, this is Open House. Christian Hosoi is with us, a world-renowned skater. Unfortunately, the story went downhill from this particular point on when we, I guess, exploring your story. You then went into bankruptcy and a rising drug addiction.
Yeah, you know, life, you know, when you get dealt a certain hand and you think that, you know, life is all about just things or material or like accomplishments, you know, I was always searching for something in my life that would satisfy me, whether it be skateboarding, money, popularity, you know, winning competitions or girls or all that, you know, it never satisfied me. I needed more of that. And that's what drove me to do the things that I do. And I finally got you know, to the point where I tried everything good and I was like, you know what, I'm not satisfied, so I'm just going to try the bad things. And I ended up getting addicted to drugs. And I mean, I was smoking pot my whole life, but there came a point where that wasn't enough. I needed to do more. And then it became crystal methamphetamine, which is speed. And I did that for 8 years straight. And I ended up just, you know, getting so caught up in it that I didn't know what I was doing anymore. And from having priorities like skateboarding and family and friends and then partying at the bottom, that list turned upside down and it became, you know, partying, skateboarding, and then pretty soon family and friends weren't on the list anymore. Then skateboarding wasn't on the list. It was just strictly partying. And then that's when my life, I was just sitting there. I was like a bucket full of holes, filling myself up with things and it never satisfying me until I finally got arrested and went to prison in 2000. And my girlfriend, God always puts like somebody in your path that kind of like intervenes in your life. And it was my girlfriend at the time. And it was my first phone call from prison. And I said, I'm looking at 10 years.
It was for drug trafficking, wasn't it?
And it was for drug trafficking. Crystal meth. And she said, you know what? I love you. We just got to trust in God. And I was like, God, I need a lawyer, babe. I need an attorney. I need to get bail. And
I need somebody with real power.
She's like, no, you know, we need to trust in God. God's going to help us. And I was like, all of a sudden, heaven confronted me and my life, all those spiritual markers, my name Christian, my nickname Christ. I invented the Christ there. And here I am. She's telling me we got to trust in God. And I had no idea who this God was.
It is ironic, isn't it? Because I mean, we should just touch on that Christ air position there, because that's where basically you went down the pipe, plummeted into the air. And then you basically made basically the sign of a cross or a crucifix. And yet with your name, none of that actually had personal significance until this time.
Until that moment when I was finally in a vice grip of life and all my choices got me to where I was at. And I finally said, what happened to my life? Why am I here? And then when she said, well, you just go get a Bible. And I was like, go get a Bible. And that night I went and got a Bible, cried out to God. I said, if you get me bail, I won't do this again. And, you know, always in that rock bottom place, we always say we won't do this again. And, you
know, make the deals.
Particularly, you know, usually people go back to that, but there was a point in my life where I was like, I meant it, you know, and I said, God, if you're real, help me. And that's what he did. He came into my life and completely changed me from the inside out. And that's when I dedicated my life to Christ. 3 weeks later, after I got arrested, spent 5 years in prison and just studying the Word of God. And now, you know, as I got released, people were like thinking, okay, this will last for a little while and then he'll get back into his old life. And you know what? They just don't realize the power that Jesus Christ has when you have a genuine encounter with him. And that's really what I had.
And which part of that Bible that you read finally clicked it for you after that 3 weeks? Was there a particular portion of it?
You know, it's pretty amazing because I went and opened up the Bible. It said Genesis in the beginning. I was like, that's a Star Trek movie. And then I went to the end. It's Revelation. I said, I don't know what, you know, that is. John, Luke, what's that? Who are they? Just people. And then a Psalms, Proverbs. What do those mean? And I got to Kings and I went, Kings, that sounds interesting. And I read Kings was the first book that I read. And
to be the first person that started the Bible in the book of Kings.
And I just read through that first night and just saw God in his character, his nature, his forgiveness, his righteousness, his holiness. And I just immediately, the Spirit of God touched me in a way where I was like, where have I been? How come I haven't known this? You know what I mean? And really, it was like the truth was spoken to me. The second thing that was told to me was by the man who led me to Jesus, which is my wife's uncle, who's a pastor, said, you need to read Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, Christian. Mm-hmm. And it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge me, and I'll direct your path. And for me, that really unlocked me from trying to figure it out on my own.
You were given a 10-year sentence, but you got out on good behavior in 2004?
June 4th, 2004.
When you got out, did you question now what your life path might be? You'd have all these years as this pro skateboarder, the rock star of skateboarding, so to speak. Now that you have this newfound faith, did you have any question marks? Where's my life heading? Do I go back to skating? Do I not?
Well, I sat there on my triple-decker bunk bed in county jail, and I was like, God, I thought I had a holy moment right there. I was sitting there. I'm like, God, I'll just give up skateboarding. I'll go into the wherever you want me to go and preach preach the gospel. I'll give up my children. I'll give up my wife. I'll give up everything for you. And immediately the Lord's like, I gave you your wife. I gave you your children. And I gave you skateboarding. And I was like, oh, I'm sorry, Lord. You know what? Forgive me. I'll be the best husband. I'll be the best father. And I'll be the best skateboarder for you that I can possibly be. And immediately I knew my mission was to go back into the places where I came from and to preach the gospel to those that know me and those that want to know me or is going to hear about me. And that's where he can use me and be effective because people know where I've come from. It's like people think I went from freedom to prison. In reality, I went from prison my whole life to freedom when I got into a cell and I spent 5 years in prison, a free man finally in my life. And it says in the Bible that who the Son sets free is free. And when I read that, I can't tell you how much it made sense to me. And so for me, you know, I had no questions about what the purpose and plans were for my life.
Yes. You've had kind of a comeback in the 90s, and then you were mentioning before, You're Not Out. Every time where you start looking at the quarter pipe, whatever it is, and go, oh, maybe I'm starting to get a little bit old for this. Anything that you won't do now?
You know, I thought that back in the day when I was like 19, 18, I go, man, 30, I'm going to be over the hill. You know, I'm 40 and I'm feeling like I'm 20 again, because you know it's 80% mental and 20% like physical in essence. I mean, it's probably 50-50, but really you have to have a mental, you know, like strength to go out there and do it. And so for me, you know, I'm going to be skating until my body says no, which I don't think will be for a long time. So I'm looking forward to jumping the mega ramp, doing Christ Airs again, and flipping 540s. But it's all about skateboarding. You know, that's one of the things I love, and God knows I love it. And so, you know, when he says in Psalm 37, chapter 37, verse 4, delight in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart, right? Here I am coming out of prison and I'm like, okay, I get to go preach the gospel. And he's like, you're going to be skateboarding too. So people call me up and go, Christian, we want you to come and skate and preach the gospel. And I'm like, man, can't I just preach the gospel? And they're like, no, you're going to come and skate and preach. And so God knew. And so for me, it's just amazing how God knows.
And you can tell the joy in your life too. The joy in your life from doing all this.
Yeah.
From what he's done in your life. Christian, thanks so much for dropping by. It's great to talk to you.
I appreciate you having me.
It's Christian Hosoi. You could actually say he was the rock star of skateboarding back in the day, but still around and still doing some pretty amazing things too. Hosoiskates.com is his website. That's H-O-S-O-I, Hosoiskates.com.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.